Well, happy Mother's Day to all the beautiful mothers everywhere across the land. And I know that you're being blessed. I know your families are showing you how much they care for you. And if you don't have anybody to show you that, well, just know that God loves you and God cares for you. Amen. He made you a mom. He knew how many children you were going to have. He knew the sexes. So just thank him. He knew if you weren't going to have any children. So just thank him for being your Heavenly Father and for blessing you. Well, Father, I just truly do thank you this morning for all that you have done so far, all that you're going to do. I thank you for our freedom, Father. I thank you, Father God, that you're opening up the economy, that you're doing the miracles you said you were going to do. And we just trust you, Father God, and put everything into your hands. And Father, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, God has been calling the church to go closer and closer to him. He wants us so close that, you know, nothing can come between you and him. He wants you to come into I entitled this a covenant relationship generation. He wants you to come into covenant with him and really love him from your heart and not from your lips. He wants you to love him with everything that's in you. And the problem with the body of Christ is that the body of Christ has not been doing that. The body of Christ has just been sort of worshiping afar off, or one day he's your father and the next day you're upset with him. All right. And we can't do that. He's our father every single solitary day. Before I go any further, make sure you keep Jim Baker, Reverend Jim Baker, up in prayer. You know, he had a stroke, and Barbara also sent that to me. I really prayed for him because this man has been under attack from the enemy from day one. And he's really done nothing but tried to help the body of Christ. And it's just a mess. If he was not God's man, God would not tell us to pray for him, right? So please pray for him and his family. And that he just recovers from this stroke 100%. You know, you could be a Jim Baker one day. You know, you could have your ministry just on everything God's telling you to do, and somebody decides, I'm going to tear you down. Then they start ugly lies or twist what you say. The next thing you know, you're losing your ministry, and you really were doing everything God told you to do. So if you want somebody to pray for you, if and when that happens to you, then we need to uphold God's people now when it's happening to them. You know, if we would just rally around those who are in leadership with us, you would find the leaders not being attacked the way they are. But there's so much jealousy in the body of Christ, and they just gloat, oh, I knew he'd fall on this and that and the other. And that he isn't fallen, but he's sick right now. But, you know, this is just when they arrested him the first time, God said, don't you dare. Quit praying for this man. This man is my son, and I'm going to bring him back stronger than he was before. And the same way with Jimmy Swaggart. And these men came back just like God said, and they're doing a mighty work for the Father, and the enemy's mad. And he's just as mad at you because you have the audacity to get out there and do the works that God's calling you to do also. All right. Starting this, we want to read about David, and I want you to really listen to what you're reading, and I want you to put yourself in this place. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil, I have anointed him. God speaking this. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil, I have anointed him, so that my hand shall be established. You know, why did he do that? So that my hand shall be established with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever, and his throne as the days of the heavens. Now he goes on to say here, and this is what God said, now if David's children forsake my law and do not walk according to my rules, and if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. And look what he says now about David. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. Doesn't matter what his children's going to do. God is still going to be faithful to David. God said, I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. Now put yourself, you're David, okay? And this is what God is saying to you. Now God says, David's offspring shall endure forever, his throne as long as the sun before me. Like the moon, it shall be established forever, a faithful witness in the skies. And Selah, think about that. He said, David's offspring shall endure forever. God said with David, he was his servant, and he anointed him with his holy oil. And David didn't have to worry about anything because God was always going to be with him, and the enemy could not take him out. Now, as you read about the different stories about David, you know the enemy tried many times to take David out, but he couldn't. And even at one point David hid in the caves from his enemy, God still kept him safe. And what God wants you to understand this morning, he wants to have the same covenant relationship with you that he did with David. And when I was studying, I studied this and more studied, you know, I thought, I'm going to go back and read Isaiah 54. And I went back and read, and I read it constantly, but I went back and I've just impressed upon me to read it. And God has given me the same covenant promise that he gave David. Now, I don't know if God has given you a scripture, but if he hasn't, you know, God, when I first born again and somebody, the first church split, and I was crying out to God about it, and he said, I want you to turn to Isaiah 54. That is your scripture that you stand on from now until I bring you home. And so, you know, as I read, see, you have to go back and read it again, and you have to understand what God is saying to you. Now, with your prophetic words, you have to go back and read your, if you don't have a scripture that God gave you, not one you picked out, then you go back and you read your prophetic words, and you stand on what God has told you in your prophetic words. All right? So then David tapped into the fatherhood of God and operated as a son. See, this is a problem with us. We do not tap into the fatherhood. And we don't operate as sons and daughters. We just operate. This is sonship, and sons receive the inheritance. When you tap into the fatherhood of God, this is sonship, and sons receive the inheritance. I always said we were king's kids, right? And so king's kids are spoiled, are they not? And they have anything they want. So then why are we so downtrodden most of the time? Why aren't we excited that we're the king's kid and doesn't matter what enemy comes against us? I'm going to tell my daddy on you. My daddy's going to send out a troop and he's going to destroy you, right? Isn't that what we should be doing? But we don't do that. Now, Psalms 89:28 tells us that God's covenant is sure, is everlasting, and it goes from generation to generation. And that's in Psalms 89:28. Each godly king in the line of David benefited from this covenant. Solomon, Jehoshaphat, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Uzziah, and Josiah all benefited from this covenant that God made with David. So you see, your children, I don't care if they're wayward or not, your children are still benefiting from the covenant that God has made with you. And this made me actually look at my kids too in a different fashion. And, you know, because the enemy always attacks your children if he can't get you. And so it's, okay, devil, so you're attacking my children. But God's given me a covenant, and he has in Isaiah 54, there is a covenant in there. that my children would be taught of the Father. Are you listening to this? And so if you can get this down in your spirit, you won't be so easily moved off of your foundation. All right, we just read where David's throne endures to all generations. That means our position is higher than the kings of the earth. We operate in a higher realm of authority. Church, we need to start doing that. Our authority is greater than natural powers and political authority. Now let's read 1 Chronicles 17, start at verse 23. And now, O Lord, let the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as you have spoken. And your name will be established and magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, is Israel's God, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. For you, my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him. Therefore your servant has found courage to pray before you. And now, O Lord, you are God, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever before you. For it is you, O Lord, who have blessed, and it is blessed forever. See, David said, you've blessed me. And he believed in that blessing. How about you all? Do you believe that God has blessed you? If you've made a covenant with him and he's made a covenant with you, then you're blessed. You're blessed beyond measure. Doesn't matter what the enemy is doing to you. Well, in Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In other words, the devil's trying to kill you. He can't kill you. He might make you sick, but he can't kill you. And that's what he's trying to do. And when he makes you sick, he's trying to kill you. He can't do that. And so you have to stand on that promise. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Devil, you cannot take my life. Isn't that what God said in Job? Do everything you want to him, but you can't kill him. See, he has to prove to the devil that you're made of good stuff. So you have to go through some trials and tribulations in life. And whenever you're going through them, though, endure until the end. Don't give up in the middle. Don't sit down and whine. But endure until the end. And sometimes enduring to the end is hard. It's not an easy thing. And God knew it wouldn't be an easy thing. And that's why he made his covenant with us. And that's why he keeps telling us to remember his promises to us. It takes faith and obedience to rule and reign on David's throne. David received the word of the prophet concerning his house, and he believed the prophet. God is calling us to rise up in faith and take our place on the throne of David. Start trusting the prophets as David did. You know, David was he was God's favorite. But God, if you notice, as I read this, God didn't talk directly to David. He talked through the prophet to David. So some say, well, I don't hear God's voice. Well, you hear a prophet's voice. So you do hear God's voice. So don't quit getting disgruntled about that. And then just maybe you'll start hearing God's voice, all right? But I do know that right now throughout the land that God wants everybody to hear his voice. We're going to be in a place, we're more or less in that place now where you're going to be, shut off alone. And you're going to have to learn to hear God's voice because, you just might not be able to get in contact with a prophet, all right? So please, God is really trying to talk to his people right now. David was a man of faith. He is mentioned in the Faith Hall of Fame. God has been trying to get us to build up our most holy faith, has he not? Now, have you been building up your faith? Every time a trial and tribulation comes your way, that's a good opportunity to build up your most holy faith, isn't it? When your car doesn't work, it's a time to build up your most holy faith. Your faith should already be built. You read where in years past where God would put gas in a car that was out of gas and they would drive for miles and miles to get their destination. Or the car would break down, but supernaturally it would all of a sudden get fixed, and they could continue on their journey. So that was their faith working. Where's our faith? We might have to use that faith more than we think so in the near future. Through faith we obtain God's promises, and Romans 10:17 tells us, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And you know, I think this is where people's testimony, your testimony even comes into effect, because when you hear somebody testify about the goodness of God, then when something happens to you, the same thing happens to you, say, well, so-and-so said that God did for them. So, all right, God, you're no respecter of persons. You did it for them, you can do it for me. I do that all the time, don't you? Because his word said he's no respecter of persons. Faith cometh by hearing. As you meditate on this message, allow the faith to rise in your heart so you can rule and reign on the throne of David. We can ask God to do as he has said. If God spoke it, he will bring it to pass. See, some of us don't quite believe that. But truly, if God spoke it, it will come to pass. We are a generation that must rise up and embrace the promises of God to the seed of David. We must, by faith, walk in dominion and authority. We must rule and reign with Jesus Christ by faith. See, if God spoke it, it will come to pass. Sometimes people will say, thus saith the Lord, but it's not thus saith the Lord. So it's not going to come to pass. And when it doesn't come to pass, because the person, the prophet, whoever said that to you, was speaking out of their flesh, you know, that wasn't something God said. So when it doesn't come to pass, you immediately blame God. That's why I tell you all to be careful who you allow to speak into your life. You know, you don't have to allow everybody to speak into your life. If somebody comes up and all of a sudden starts speaking into your life, you don't have to receive that into your spirit. You'd be quietly saying to yourself, God, I don't receive anything you're saying. You know, and just smile and walk on when they're done. I have seen in this church people come in and I tell them, you cannot prophesy with people because I haven't tested your prophetic gifting, but they'll go up. When people are leaving, they'll start prophesying over their life, and it's not true. It's not true. You have to be careful with that. Saul lost his throne because of disobedience. So let's go to 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? This Samuel was a prophet, and he was talking to Saul because Saul did a terrible thing. Samuel says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity, and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. See, Saul did not wait for Samuel to come and do the thing he was supposed to do. It said Saul did it, and God does not condone disobedience. All right, so then God looked for another king and found David. David was obedient to do the will of God. When he rejected Saul, he looked for another king. But we all know that God already had David in line to do this. He already knew that Saul was going to mess up. Every one of us in here, every one of us in the sound of my voice, God knows if you're going to mess up. And he already has somebody to take your mantle. He'll give you time after time after time after time to straighten up. But if you don't, he'll be like he did to Saul and say, enough is enough. And he'll remove your mantle. That's just the way God works. Acts 13:21. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. I didn't realize Saul reigned for 40 years. And when God had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do my will. See, he would do God's will. And well, we just read in Acts 13:22, David's testimony was, well, God's testimony about David was, who will do all my will. Now, each one of us, we need to listen to this today. Are you doing everything that God is telling you to do? If you are, then you have found great favor in God's eyes. And if you haven't, then you haven't found that great favor. And if you're not careful, God can move on to somebody else. 1 Samuel 16:13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward, and Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. In Hosea 13:11, I gave you a king in my anger, and I took him away in my wrath, God said. When the other president was inaugurated into office, God said to me, he said, they want a king. I'm going to give them a king, and they're going to see what a king is going to do for them. And he was angry, and that's why for 4 years you had, no, 8 years, that king was on the throne who was not God's choice. Now we're just about going through 4 years of God's choice as a king, and he's doing what God wants him to do. And I've never seen a president more harassed than this president had. So, you know, if I was, I mean, I pray for him constantly because I feel sorry for him, by everything he has to endure. But if he can trust, and I believe he does, that God has placed him in that office, then everybody knows if you're a true child of God and you're really doing God's work, that devil's going to dance on your head continually, trying to tear you up, tear you apart. So God's told us to pray for our president, and I'm believing that we're all praying for him, because when he gets reelected again, he's... But if you notice, he doesn't look old either. Like the other presidents do, he does not look, and he has gone through the fire. Amen. So obedience is necessary to rule and reign on the throne of David. So remember that, guys. If you're going to rule and reign on the throne of David and get all the blessings of God, then you have to walk in obedience. All right, obedience is necessary to rule and reign on the throne of David. The kings who were obedient to the law were blessed. If you read about the kings in the Bible, they were blessed. Those who disobeyed God had nothing but trouble during their reigns. Well, that's just the opposite with our president, right? He's doing what God wants him to do and always had his trouble. But still, through it all, you know, God's in control and God's doing exactly. Okay, well, let's just reverse that to us. We know that we know that we know that God has called us to do a specific thing. All right, here with the Lighthouse, we know that we are a remnant church. And God's told us from day one that we are 2 John the Baptist, preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. So what's been going on with the Lighthouse Church? We have been fought tooth and nail. There's always somebody, somewhere that the enemy can use to put us down, you know, run around here and talk negative about us. But we're still ruling and reigning with God. We're still on the throne with God, and God is still blessing us. Isn't that awesome? So think about when you get your ministry, that the enemy's going to fight you. But if you've made a covenant with God and you have the right relationship with God, the enemy can't take you out. All right? This is what this is all about this morning. Because we're getting ready to, the glory's getting ready to drop in all of its fullness, and we're going to be out there doing God's thing, you with the people, and God wants us to have the right covenant relationship with Him, where He can protect us and the enemy can't touch us. That's what this is all about. It's all about growing you up a little bit more in your relationship with God. And even putting this together, I had to stop. I stopped, thought about all the different things God has done to me from the time He called me, and yet we're so dumb. We don't understand the importance of what God's... I'm so dumb. You know, we don't understand the importance of what God has been doing for us. And we don't understand it, or else we just, oh, well, that's a neat thing. And we just do not understand the importance. All right? All right, those... Okay, rebellion will hinder us from ruling on the throne of David. So disobedience will hinder you. Rebellion will hinder you. Chastisement is a part of David's covenant. So let's read Psalm 89:30. God said, if his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my rules, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. There's always going to be chastisement. Every one of us know that we have been chastised by God. At one point, maybe 20 points in our life, all right? So it's not a bad thing. God chastens us so that he can make us sure we're going to reach the destiny that he's called us forth to reach. So don't get all upset when God chastises you and start getting upset with him. Just say, thank you, God, that you love me enough that you're not going to let me go down that side road. All right? Please do that. All right, disobedience robs us of our ability to rule and reign. Saul was rejected for his disobedience. It was because of his disobedience that God searched for another king and found David. God is still searching for a people that will fulfill his will. For years, I'd see this eye, and I'd say, God, what is it? He says, that's my eye. I'm searching for those throughout the land, for those who will do my will. See, God searches for people who will do his will. Is he searching you? Is he looking deep inside of you to see what's really down? He knows, but is he searching deep inside of you and trying to reveal to you what's down there that needs to come out so that he can use you? You know, you'll do his will at all times. A lot of us, I've heard a lot of people say, well, I didn't know that was in me. But see, God did. God knew that was in you, and God knew if he didn't get it out of you, that he wouldn't be able to use you. Okay? So don't get discouraged when there are things in you that you didn't know was there. Just thank God that he was wise enough to pull them out so that the enemy couldn't take you out. All right. Jesus was obedient to the will of his Father, and he is the perfect David. He now sits on the throne of David. We rule and reign with him through our faith and obedience. We are anointed to sit on David's throne. And 1 Samuel 16:13 says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the spirit from that day forward, and Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, before I ever started a church, God had this lady anoint me with oil. Remember I told you that? She poured this whole bottle of oil on me. But a prophet had said before, you are a different woman. You're not of the same breed as other women. And God is going to use you mightily. Then after I left, then he told her, you need to anoint her for her ministry. And she called me at midnight and said, come, I need to anoint you. And so this is what Samuel did to David. He anointed him for his ministry. Now, 1 Kings, where am I at? Okay, David was 30 when he began to reign. Jesus was 30 when he began his ministry. David was anointed. Jesus is the Christ, which means anointed one. We are partakers of this anointing. You must be anointed to sit on David's throne. All of the descendants of David who sat on his throne were anointed. How many times has God told me to have somebody go and anoint you guys when you're on the floor or maybe sitting in your chair? He was anointing you to sit on David's throne. We did not pour a half a gallon of oil on your head, but we did anoint you. All right? See, and it amazes me when sometimes God will say, anoint them with water, or he'll say, anoint them with oil. So we do whatever he says. Whether he says water or oil, that's how we do it. All right, now 1 Kings 1:39 says, there Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Solomon was David's son. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. See, when David was gone, then Solomon took his place as king. This anointing goes from generation to generation. Solomon was anointed as the next king. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful that if we would be walking upright before the Father, doing his complete will, where your anointing could be passed down to your children? That would make me want to walk closer to God than I ever did, knowing that my anointing would be passed down to my children. See, I made a covenant with God that if I ever had children, I would never do anything to disgrace them. They would never be ashamed to say, that's my mom. And that's how I lived my life. I lived upright in all of my ways so that my children could always be proud of me. And you know, because I did that, then everything I did, when I got born again, I did to the Father too. I wanted him to be proud of me. And so I kept myself. Are you understanding this? All right, so Jesus is anointed. Jesus is anointed as a King of Kings. He sits on the throne of his father David, and we are anointed with Christ. We also sit upon the throne of David in our generation. In Psalm 18:50 says, "Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever." So, guys, every one of your children should be anointed. Every one of your children should at one point in their life be serving the Father. Why? Because you're anointed. And it says, everything I read said the anointing goes from generation to generation. All right? There are certain responsibilities and blessings that come with being anointed. God shows great mercy to his anointed. Aren't you glad he does that? Aren't you glad you're anointed so that he shows this great mercy to you? Boy, many times I said, "Thank you, God, that I'm anointed." Because how about you? Some days you need an extra dose of mercy, don't you? We all do. All right, God shows great mercy to his anointed. You will see great victories as a result of the anointing. The Revised Standard Version says great triumphs. Another translation say glorious conquest because of the anointing, God's mercy. Psalm 20, verse 6 says, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand." Now I know that the Lord saves his anointing. Get it in your spirit. God saves his anointed ones. I don't care what the enemy's doing to you. God saves his anointed ones. And I don't care how many times you messed up, if you're still sitting, then God in his mercy has touched you and brought you forth. And instead of you going back to where he brought you from, quit. I'm hearing God say, quit being stagnant in that place where he pulled you out of. Forget that thing that you did and move on. All right, the Moffat translation says, "Now am I sure the eternal grants victory to his chosen king." David knew what it meant to be anointed. He understood the blessing of being anointed. And this is a problem of the body of Christ. We don't understand what it means to be anointed. We don't understand it, but because we're anointed, we stand under the sure mercies of God. And that, you know, if we're truly sorry for what we did, then God does not reject us. All right. God will answer the prayer of his anointed. And I know some of you that have been praying for me. I know that you're anointed because your prayers have been answered, are being answered. And so that's I'm so glad you're anointed. Today, start seeing yourself partaking of the anointing of Jesus. Today, I want you to partaking of the anointing of Jesus. Christ means anointed. We are partakers of the Christ anointing. We are connected to Jesus Christ, the anointed one. This is a part of being a Christian. We have been anointed to sit on the throne and rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Psalm 23:5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Now, do you believe that or not? That psalmist believed that. They wrote it. They lived it. Abundance and overflowing belong to you because of the anointing. Abundance and overflow belong to you because of the anointing. Your life will overflow to bless others. You hear that? God always gives us more than enough. We are blessed, and God has made us a blessing. See yourself overflowing with blessings as you sit upon the throne of David. Quit having this mentality of, "I'll never have enough." You already have more than enough just because you're anointed by God. And as you show yourself steadfast and faithful, God's going to increase the anointing. And like Sister Teresa's told me twice now, she read an article where it said, God doesn't bless you to keep it to yourself. He blesses you so you can help others out. And I know there are a lot in this body of Christ that do just that. when God blesses you, you don't keep it to yourself. You make sure you bless somebody else. That's the anointing in you that does that. The anointing in you says, I want to bless somebody else. It doesn't matter how small the blessing. You know, some people might need that really small blessing. And I'm not talking about money either. I'm just talking about anything that you can bless somebody with. Amen. Psalm 28:8 says, the Lord is the strength of his people. He is a saving refuge of his anointed. So we have to start believing the word. This was a key to David's great strength. It was always the key to the ministry of Jesus. The Spirit of God came upon David from the moment he was anointed. He was anointed for battle, guys. Come on. He was anointed for battle. From the day that that woman poured that oil over my head, from that point on, miracles started occurring wherever I went. Are you listening here? God anointed me to have a miracle ministry. And he has not withdrawn that. So, you know, whenever God anoints you with oil, then he's anointing you for your ministry to go forth and do whatever that anointing was meant to do. We are anointed with the strength of God. Begin to see yourself strong because of the anointing. Are you seeing this? Not because of anything you've done, but you're strong already because of the anointing from God. It's not because of your faith. I mean, we have to have that. We have to have love. But the very beginning is the anointing coming from God. If God doesn't anoint you, you're not going to accomplish anything. Do you all understand this? As each one of you, you know, I think about you a lot. I pray for you a lot. And I look at your lives and I can see where you came from and I see where God has you right now. And I know where he's taking you to. He anointed you from day one. And he's been working with you from day one. And he sends you to place to place to place under the people that he needs you under so you can become what he's called you to become. All right? And that's why when people just jump up and leave a church without God telling them to leave, they mess their lives up because God had them sitting under that leadership for a reason. And it was to grow them up in a certain area. Then he might say, okay, now you've learned all you can learn here. Now I want you to get up and move and go to this other place. He did that to me. I wasn't happy about it, but he did it to me. And so he sent me someplace else. And then I learned something from this other place. And then when the pastor kicked me out from there, she said I had to go. And then, you know, then God started the ministry. But every place I went, I learned something new. God was growing me up so he could place me in my own ministry. You know, you each are going to do something great for God. God didn't just save you so you could sit in a church and warm a seat. He has a special purpose for your life. So make sure you're constantly listening to the Father and doing exactly what he's calling you for to do. Now, some of you I know really well, so if you say God's told me to move, I said, no, he's not telling you to move right now. You got to sit still. But then there's others I know, they're bullheaded. They're going to do what they want to do. They come and say, God, and God will tell me, they're going to come and say, thus, 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 and thus. And they do, word for word. He said, just let them go. And so I do, you know, because I'm not about to change your mind. Because you're not listening to God or you wouldn't have had that mindset to begin with. It's not my job to dictate your life to you. My job is to give you the word and let you do what you want to with what God wants you to do with that word. And when God wants you to move on, then he'll move you on. All right? We are anointed with the strength of God. Begin to see yourself strong because of the anointing. In Psalm 84, verse 8 says, because of the anointing, is what the scripture says, we can pray and ask for God's favor. Because of the anointing, you have a special position with God. You are not like everyone else. Don't categorize yourself. Oh, I'm like so. No, you're not. You are not like everyone else. Through the anointing, you are separated for God's purposes. God hears your prayers. Your prayers have a special place before God. Are you hearing this? Psalm 92:10 says, but you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. There is a fresh anointing being released upon the church. This is what's going on right now. We're in a new era, and God is doing a new thing. It is a new, well, it is a new thing. We are receiving a fresh apostolic and prophetic anointing for this hour. See yourself being promoted on the throne of David. Please, guys, see yourself being promoted. Don't be content to stay in a place, you know, in that position you're at right now in God. See yourself being exalted, lifted up, doing the things that God's called you forth to do. All right? Some of you right now, you know, God's having me be quiet with you guys, because right now he wants you to seek his face. He wants you to be content with him. For what reason, I don't know. That he's drawn you to yourself so you can pray and hear exactly what he wants you to do. All right? There are some that are getting off course, but I can't do anything about that. I have to just let God says, leave it alone. But I'm telling you, this is what's going on. So, you know, don't get off. I'm just begging you, don't get off course. Please stay in the will of the Father. All right? All right, Psalm 132, verse 17. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. See what he did for David? He already prepared a place for him. He has prepared a place for each and every one of you. He really has. But you're trying to sidestep that. You're not understanding what God's doing. But God's going to start talking to you even more than he has. And you're going to start writing volumes and books. Just volumes and books. And it's all going to come from the God's voice, from the throne. It's not going to be anything that you think. It's going to be what God is saying. God has prepared a lamp for his anointed. A lamp represents authority. We have light and revelation as we sit on the throne of David. A lamp causes us to shine. We shine in the darkness. People are attracted to this lamp. We carry the light and the glory of God. What I see here, a lamp represents authority. How many times has God talked to us about our light? How he wants us is to shine. Why? Because we're going to walk in authority. We're going to walk in great authority. Each one of you are going to walk in great authority. You know, remember what God said, it's time once again for the first be last, the last be first. He wasn't talking about individuals in the church. He's talking about authority in businesses, in government. God's getting ready to change some situations, and he's going to need other people to stand in those places of authority. And each one of you, I'm hearing God say, are assigned to a special post right now already in his kingdom. And he's going to let you see what that authority is going to be. All right? Isaiah 45 verse 1 says, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. Let me stop here. I've heard a lot of prophets talk about the anointing of Cyrus in this given time. So let's read that again. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hoards, and the hoards and secret places that you, why? That you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. Now, guys, God is really doing this for you. Put yourself in this scripture. He is opening the doors for you to walk through in places of authority. You'll be surprised. I'm really proud of you guys, because God has shown me some of what God's going to do with you and where, how he's going to place you in authority. And I'm like a little mother hen, you know, feathers all puffed out, you know. Look, you know, they were in the lighthouse one day. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're proud of your children, because God's taking you to great places. Don't be content to just sit. There are some scriptures concerning the anointing Number one, we subdue nations through the anointing. Number two, we loose the loins of kings. And number three, we are able to strip the power and authority of principalities and powers. Number four, we break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. Walled cities with strong gates are open unto us. In other words, God's going to open everything open for you. You won't have to work or labor. It's just going to be a wide open door you're going to walk through, and there you are. You're in that place of authority that God has already prepared for you. All right? Number five, we receive the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. There is much wealth hidden in the earth. And number six, we have access to this wealth through the anointing. God always said, you won't have to worry about where the money's going to come from because I'm going to supply the monies. So if he's already prepared a place of authority for you and importance for you, he's already prepared a way for the monies and everything else you're going to need. All right? I'm just hearing God say, just start trusting him. Totally, completely, 100% start trusting him. And Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. God's been speaking to us about that for years now, and the time is now. Verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. We, the Spirit of God, the Lord God, is upon us right now. All right. I was sitting on the edge of the bed this morning just watching the noise. They get his clothes out of the dresser, and God spoke to me. He said, why do you tell the people that I'm not going to come right now? It might be 40 years from now. He says, I thought nobody knew about what day he was coming except me. So I'm going to quit saying that. He said, does not my word tell you that life is going on as normal, you know, two in the field, you know? I have no right to make that statement. That's how much God loves me. He doesn't want me out there saying things that just really aren't true. Because if I don't know what day he's coming, I can't say he's not going to come for 40 years, right? Now, well, that was a dumb statement, wasn't it? I said, oh, geez. How many of you make dumb statements? You know, and then God makes it. You say, oh, gosh, I can't believe I did that. See, if you have a father who really loves you, he's going to keep you in line. He's not going to let you get out there and keep making the same mistake over and over again. He said, I don't ever want to hear you say that again. All right? So, let's go down here now. We are partakers of Christ's anointing. We are anointed to sit on the throne of David. We heal the sick and cast out devils. We also do good because of the anointing. We release vengeance upon the powers of darkness. We loose the prisoners. We heal the brokenhearted. We are anointed to preach the gospel. And that tells us that in Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. You're anointed to teach. My goodness. You know, quit being afraid about teaching. You're already anointed to teach. If you get up and say, well, I'm going to show them what I can do. Well, you're not anointed to teach because you're already, God keeps telling me they're an entity unto themselves. You can do all things without God. But that's not true. You can make a fool of yourself without God. But if you're walking with God, you're already anointed to teach. All right? Allow these scriptures on the anointing to saturate your spirit. Rise up in the anointing of the Holy Spirit and see miracles and breakthroughs. Understand and walk in revelation of the anointing. You guys in here are already anointed. Please walk like an anointed one. Knowing we have been established upon David's throne. And 2 Samuel 5:12 says, and David knew that the Lord had established him king over Israel. See that? And David knew that the Lord had established him king over Israel and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. You have to know that God has established you. You have to understand that God has been speaking to you for years now of the things he's going to use you to do. And you have to understand now that this is a time when he's going to start doing those things. And you're like me for the last 10 years. You say, God, are you ever going to move? Are you ever going to do anything? Am I just sitting here spinning my wheels? No, we have not been just sitting here spinning our wheels. We've been sitting here learning and teaching others of what we learned. And haven't we? Isn't that what you've been doing? telling others what you learned. I read your articles you write. You write, you've learned something. You write really good articles. So see, it hasn't been for naught. It has not been for naught. You've been learning all this time, and one day God says, boom, he's going to shove you right through the door. And so don't say he didn't warn you this morning. All right, you shouldn't fall on your face when he does that. God said to me, in a wink of my eye, I'm going to send you, telling me, I'm going to send you out there in the midst of the wolves. So I'm waiting for this wink. You know, you never know what's going to happen. God told us to be ready, didn't he? David came to a place of realization that he was established by God on the throne. He had to endure much on his way to the throne. He probably had doubts that he would ever arrive. Come on, this is us, right? He finally came to a place of knowing. We must also come to a place of knowing. Remember, I always say, I know that I know that I know that God has called me to do this. Because if I didn't know that, I would not be able to do the things God's called me to do. I mean, the things that I do, I would not be able to do them. But I know it's God, and so therefore I can do them. We must know in our spirits that we sit on David's throne. David was anointed by Samuel to be king years before he ever got on the throne. You understand this? Each one of you have been anointed for a couple of years now. And God's getting ready to place you the places he wants you to be. But now he can reign with confidence and authority. There is no more doubt in his mind. We must operate in faith and confidence from David's throne. I don't want no more doubt in your minds after this morning of what God has called you forth to do. If he's called you to be a writer of books, and that will supply your needs, and be a writer of books. If he's called you to be a leader of a glow, then be a leader of a glow. If he's called you to be an intercessor, then be an intercessor. Whatever he's called you to be, know that you know that you know that God has called you to this place of authority in your life, and you're anointed to do it by God. Now, to be established means to be set. David no longer had to struggle and fight to possess his throne. He no longer had to run from Saul. I want you, put this in your own, put yourself here. His days of wandering came to an end. The same is true concerning you. God is settling us upon the throne. We are taking our place with authority and dominion. David's throne is established from generation to generation. Jesus now sits on this throne, and he cannot be moved. See yourself set strongly in your ministry or business. I want you to see that this morning. Allow no one to move you from your place. You have been set by God. This needs to be established firmly in your heart. And I've been trying to get you guys to know that. This needs to be established firmly in your heart. Do not allow yourself to be double-minded. Begin to rule and reign on the throne of David. I want you to do that this morning, please. Your enemies can no longer hold you back. Your day of delay is over. It is now time to enter into the fullness of your inheritance. Once you have been established, you can rule strongly. Others will recognize you. Your enemies will have to submit. There is no longer any doubt as to who is king. God will validate your ministry and anointing. You don't have to validate your ministry or your anointing. Your position is established by God and recognized by men. Now, the other night, God just spoke to me out of the blue and said, daughter, because so-and-so came against you, their ministry is going to be lowered and your ministry is going to be exalted. Be careful what you do with it. You know, God always told me, daughter, never stick your nose in somebody else's ministry. You have enough to do to take care of the lighthouse. And I've been really trying to put that, stress that to you, that you keep your nose in your own ministry, in your own life, and quit trying to live everybody else's life for them. And quit trying to tell somebody else how to run their ministries. And don't talk about ministries. You don't really know what's going on there. Matthew 16:18 says, Jesus said, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church has been established by God. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it, according to the scripture, right? Your ministry has been established by God, and the gates of hell cannot stop it. It can't. You can stop it, but the enemy can't. Your ministry is being established. Your church is being established. Your business is being established, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. And 2 Samuel 3:1 said, there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, and David grew stronger and stronger, while the house of Saul became weaker and weaker. So there was a long war between Saul and David before David was established on the throne. We have been in a long war. It is time we see ourselves stronger while the enemy has gotten weaker. Being established is a key to reigning. God established David as king in spite of Saul. Nobody else can stop God from putting you in your position. Nobody. I don't care who it is, and I don't care who the enemy is. They cannot stop what God has put in motion. Are you understanding this? You are being established in spite of opposition. And some of you have, we all have been, opposition has been there all along. But because we kept ourselves steadfast, kept our eyes upon God, did not allow the enemy to take our eyes off of God, God has established us. Each one of you listening, you are already established in your ministry. Now, God just has to bring it forth. He had to bring you to this morning. I'm hoping that his object here was to get you to understand that you are sitting on the throne of David and that you are anointed to do whatever God calls you forth to do. I don't care what it is. You know, you could have a ministry, and then God also, the anointing is there to do other things too. So don't get yourself in a little box and say, this is all I can do. No, that's not all you can do. Whatever God asks you to do, the anointing is already there to do it. I'm hearing God say, you are not fly by night children. You are established children. Constantly, forevermore established in my kingdom. All right. Today, God has given you more strength through his word so that you can stand tall and you can stand firm. Somebody say, well, I used to know you. Well, that person no longer exists. That person died. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And they say, well, you can't do this. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you did, because God knew you from the foundations of the world, right? He knew exactly what you was going to do at the right time. And all the things you went through was to strengthen you and to build integrity in you and to make you the king that God wanted you to be. So don't think, oh, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that. And we all have done that, haven't we? But that's okay. That's all right. And you know, I was thinking about Jesus and his disciples. And as I get a little bit disgruntled with my disciples. But I was thinking about Jesus and his disciples, and God said, just take a really good look at my son's disciples. They fought among themselves. They fought who was going to stand next to Jesus. You know, they ran away from Jesus when he really needed him. All kind of stuff. They was always questioning him, always trying to tell him how to do his job. They couldn't even do their job. Stay awake. You know, so when you really look at the true full picture, you'll no longer be disgruntled with your disciples. You know, I call them disciples. Anybody working around you, let's put it that way. Because Jesus didn't have a perfect crew either. We have to think about that. Jesus did not have a perfect crew, and God really placed it in my spirit yesterday. So if you're looking for a perfect crew, you're not going to find it. Amen. They loved him. They took, you know, they made sure they took, protected him, but they were messed up. So people can love you and take care of you, but it doesn't mean they're not messed up. All right. Well, Father, I truly do thank you for all you did here this morning. I thank you for taking us higher into your kingdom. I thank you, Father God, for letting us understand we do rule and reign on the throne of David. That Jesus was the seed of David, and Father God, we are the seed too. and that we do have all power and all authority through you, Father. And Father God, we're all asking you right now to just reach down and touch us. Let us feel your touch this morning, Father God, that touch that only you can give us. That touch that transforms, Father. That touch that takes us out of this earthly realm and takes us into the heavenly realm. And we thank you for it, Father. We just thank you for it, Father. Let your anointing fall upon the people wherever they're at right now, God. Let your anointing fall upon them right now. Take them into the heavenly places and let them sup with you right now, Father. And Father, we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus.